We enjoyed all the music tonight, enjoyed being able to sing some of the carols also with you, and I think it's wonderful when the Lord is lifted up, and tonight that's what we're going to do a little bit, talking about the name of Jesus. So the title of this evening's message is, Thou Shalt Call His Name Jesus. And so Matthew chapter number 1, towards the end of the chapter, we have the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream. And he specifically, the angel says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So this may not be a typical, per se, Christmas Eve service type message, because we're actually going to do a little bit of turning and go through the Bible, because it's not just about what happened that one day when Jesus was born. The name of Jesus is actually tied throughout some different themes in the Bible, and they could be an encouragement and help to us, because it wasn't just about the fact that he was born, as we heard in the music many times, it's the fact that he was born to die for the sins of mankind. And that's why we rejoice in him. And if he had just came and never died for us, then we would still be lost in our sins. So let's go ahead and read here a little bit. And we're going to start off here. And as I said, have your Bibles ready and handy. We're going to go through a couple different passages looking about this name of Jesus. It's a precious name. It's a name that should be exalted, a name that should be lifted high. It's a name that should be reverenced. Unfortunately, the day and time we live in, many people do not use the name Jesus in a reverent way. They use it as a curse word. It's amazing that something that's so precious to so many of us that are believers, and we love the name of Jesus, and we reverence the name of Jesus, is a name we should be lifted up high, as one that is hated by others. And we're going to see that in the story as we look throughout the New Testament. And we're not going to go throughout the whole entire New Testament and use every example. But at this point in this story, thou shalt call his name Jesus. So let's pick up here in verse number 19. Actually, we'll start in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to open up your word. It's precious. Lord, even than just to be able to say the name Jesus, and for all the things it represents, Lord, it's a precious thing. Help us always reverence the name of Jesus. I even see many times Christians and believers that just throw that name around, even though they don't seem like they care for you or care about you or want to live for you. And tonight, as we consider the birth of Christ and the fact that you chose for his name to be called Jesus, what that means, not just for that day and that moment, but the implications it has throughout all eternity. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for what you did for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in verse number 21, there is a command that's there, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You go to verse number 25, you see that Joseph does not name his own son. God the Father names the son for Joseph, but you see the obedience in verse 25, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we see there's a connection there, that he's in obedience. Why call his name Jesus? Well, back in Bible times, specifically, especially the Jewish culture, the name that was connected or the name that was given was a certain type of characteristic, or even a characteristic that a parent wanted for their child to have. when picking the names for our two sons. We have Andrew and Andrew Joseph. Joseph is my first name. It's kind of a little bit of a family name that's been passed down. But we chose Andrew, at least one of my reasons why I wanted Andrew as a name, was because of the fact that Andrew is known in the Bible for always bringing people to Jesus. And it's my prayer that my child, my son, would someday bring people to Jesus Christ. Also, we have Christian Dylan, and Dylan is my wife's maiden name. And so that way we wanted to make sure we paid, since he was going to be last name, was going to be Pease. Dylan, we wanted to, thankful it wasn't some goofy name, that Dylan works still. But Christian is because it means a little Christ. And someone that's like Christ and attached. And that's what we desire, a desire for him to be like Christ. And so when we chose those names, I wanted to name one of them Barnabas. But my wife said no because of the fact that he was going to end up being called Barney. But I don't know. I like Barnabas. And I wanted to name one of the middle names Green. So that way it could be Green Peas. But she wouldn't let me do that either. But it's a Christmas color, too. It would work at Christmas time. But it's nonetheless, why would they call his name Jesus? And every time you, as a Christian, when you hear the name Jesus, if you say, hey, I'm a Christian, you're connecting yourself with Jesus. And it's important. This is a name that's above every name. So why did they call him Jesus? The name Jesus is his proper name. When we see Jesus Christ, Christ is his title. Jesus in the New Testament is equivalent to Joshua in the Old Testament, which means salvation. This is the name of the Savior. This is the name of the true living God. He is the Savior of the world, and we're reminded of that. So there's a couple of things we're going to look at tonight, probably about four things the name Jesus reminds us of. Number one, the name Jesus reminds us that he is God. The name Jesus reminds us that he is God. If you look in verse number 23, you see right after they say in verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus. In verse 23, they connect it with an Old Testament prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. So people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, you just haven't read the passage. You haven't connected the dots. In John chapter number 1, it talks about it. But here there's connection in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Jesus himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. So we see the name that's given for Jesus is also connected with the name Emmanuel from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So in Isaiah 9:6, you're saying that this child is the Mighty God. Even in John chapter number 1, and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God became man. And over in the scriptures, it says Jesus, the name Jesus reminds us that God became man. It reminds us of that. What a wonderful Christmas thought there. And that's Emmanuel, God with us. Another thing in this, not only does it remind us that Jesus was God, but it reminds us why he came. It reminds us why he came. Look what it says in verse 21 once again. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people for their sins. So when we think of the name Jesus, we think of the name Savior, and he gave that instruction to Joseph. Joseph didn't even get to name his own son. Of course, I understand he wasn't he was kind of the earthly father, is the one that God chose to raise his son. We know that Jesus was from the Virgin Mary and the idea that there was no earthly father that was there. So why is it that when you see this, that people get upset with you? When you use the name Jesus and you talk to people, you pray in Jesus' name, they get upset. You don't hear people making cases saying, hey, you shouldn't pray in Allah's name, or you shouldn't pray in Muhammad's name, or you shouldn't pray in this name or pray in that name. It's all about Jesus. Why is that? And it's because what Jesus reminds us is why he came. If it's Jesus, that means it's a Savior. It means that we need to be saved from something. If we need to be saved from something, what do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from our sins. And that's the Savior came. He came to die and pay our sin debt for us. And that's a reminder to the world that we needed a Savior. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20:31, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Over and over in the Bible and over scriptures, the name of Jesus is lifted up. It shows us and reveals to us that he was God. It also reminds us of why he came. He didn't come so we could decorate trees. He didn't come so we can decorate buildings and so we can have a day where we give gifts. I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating Christmas in different ways and different forms, but he came to die for the sins of mankind. And it reminds us why he came. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. There is no other name. There is no other person. And if we remember that, the name of Jesus, it has a special meaning. And it should be something that we should reverence. We should reverence the name of Jesus. But it's not just found here. It's found throughout the New Testament. It's kind of interwoven in different areas and different places. And we're not going to go to all of them for sake of time, but there is a few I'd like to make you aware of. The next thing I want you to take your Bible to, Acts chapter number three. Say, Pastor, that's away from the Christmas passage. Once again, Christmas was just the beginning. He didn't come, like I said, for us to be able to celebrate on December 25th. He came so that way he could remind us that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. In Acts chapter number 3, we see what happens when Peter and John are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And when they're there, there's a lame man that is asking for alms. There's a lame man asking for money to maybe buy a meal. And he's there laying at the gate of the temple and asks of them that entered into the temple. Look what it says in verse number 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now look what it says in verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. And look at the next phrase, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So the name of Jesus reminds us that he was God. The name of Jesus reminds us of the reason why he came, but the name of Jesus reminds us of God's power. There's a connection there. You see here in verse number 6, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The power was not in Peter, it was in Christ. The power is never in man. It's always the power in the name of Jesus. There's a connection of using the name of Jesus and believing and trusting in the name of Jesus. It's not someone that's a non-believer. It's not someone there was somebody trying to cast out a demon in the book of Acts and trying to use the name of Jesus. And that was frivolous. That was wrong. But at the same time, when we use the name of Jesus and we use it in God's power and God's strengths, amazing things can happen. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of Jesus has power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus when we pray. John chapter 14, verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the name of Jesus, and when you hear most Christians pray, at the end of the prayer, it says, in Jesus' name, amen. And why do they do that? Because through Jesus' name, there is power. If we're praying in our own strength, in our own might, there's no power. But when we're going to God and we're approaching God and we're saying, in Jesus' name, amen, we are showing that we have access to the power and access to God through who? Through the name of Jesus. That's why it's important that we understand Joseph started off, his name shall be Jesus. Why? It reminds us that he was God. It reminds us that the reason why he came, but it also reminds us of God's power. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not just a cool way to sign off, and it's not just a cool way to look like you're being spiritual. There is access to God through the power of the name of Jesus. Look what it says in verse 16 in chapter 3. And it says, in this name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong. So they're there, they're questioning, and they hate Jesus, they hate the name of Jesus. They're there and questioning Peter and John. And Peter and John's response is, you know, if we're getting questioned for what we do, he preaches a message to the people. At this point in time, in chapter 4 is the next point, is when they start questioning him and they try to persecute him. People see this man get healed, they're excited, they come, they run. Peter's there and he's preaching and teaching. And he says in verse 16, in his name, through faith in his name, name have made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He doesn't take any of the glory. He says it was the name of Jesus. It was in his name. And that's what we believe in. That's what we trust in, the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. Believe in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name has power over evil, not power over wickedness. Remember in Acts 16 where Paul is being followed by that demon-possessed girl and he turns around and he says, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. We need to be able to pray in Jesus' name. We need to say, Jesus, I need your help. And in your name, Lord, help me overcome this wickedness. Help me overcome this evil. Help me overcome this problem. Remember, the devils, they believe in God and they tremble. And if we would believe in the name of Jesus and praise him for the power that comes from the name of Jesus, we're going to face persecution. We're going to face problems. If you look in Acts chapter number 4, you see here, and they're there, and they're trying to give Peter and John a hard time. They do not want to bring the name of Jesus, have that exalted. They're doing whatever they can, and they're there, but they see that there's been a great miracle done. So they lay hands on him in verse number 3, chapter number 4. And verse number 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And they begin to talk about things. And in verse number 7, it says, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? There's like, how in the world have you done this? And who gives you the authority? In verse number 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. What do we learn today about being led by the Holy Ghost? You're going to listen to the Holy Ghost. You're going to follow the Holy Ghost leadership. You're going to want to praise God. You're going to want to talk to God. But you're also going to have a message for man from God. And that's what Peter is giving. He's giving this message to man from God. Under being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of a good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it's lifted up. He says that this by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. And then this is a famous verse, but it's a great verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. Doesn't matter what name it is, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's a wonderful thought there. It's the name of Jesus is lifted up. Why did Christmas happen? It reminds us that he was God. Jesus' name reminds us of the fact of why he came, but there's power in the name of Jesus. Every time we pray and we go before him, we say in Jesus' name, there's power there. That babe was God that became man for us. And the name of Jesus should be precious to us. Last but not least, the name of Jesus reminds us of a future reckoning, a future judgment, a future day of reckoning, whatever you want to call it. But when he said Jesus, that name Jesus reminds us of something. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 2 now. Philippians chapter number 2 has probably become one of my favorite passages of the Bible. I love the story. I love how it talks about having the mind of Christ. I love it. The first few verses, it teaches us something we don't really like hearing, how we should prefer others above ourselves, how we should do nothing through strife or vainglory. As I continue into the ministry year after year, it's I don't want to see things done for strife. I don't want to see things done for vainglory. I want to have the mind of Christ. And that's what it says in verse number 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He wasn't the one that made his name great. He took and he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of the servant. He continued to, went from the most glorious position of all the universe, and was made in the likeness of man. He came, he lowered himself, he humbled himself, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself once again, and he became obedient unto death, not just obedient unto death, but even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and look at that next phrase, and given him a name which is above every name. And then look what it says in verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because as I remember this, I think about this, and that the name of Jesus, he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why call him Jesus? It's because Jesus is connected to the fact he was God. It's Jesus tells us why he came. Jesus has power in his name. But it also reminds us that it's not just here, it's for all of eternity. There is a day coming that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, that name, is Lord. And that's what we would learn to do now. People don't like authority sometimes. People do not like submitting sometimes. But there is a day and a moment that come that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that name Jesus. And the key is that now, while we have a choice, we should surrender ourselves and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself to your precious name. Names are important. Remember, family names mean something. As a teen, now, I got pulled over a few times in Elkton, Maryland for driving not the proper way. Not as many times as my sister, but I got pulled over a couple of times. And when I got pulled over, many of you know my dad was a police officer for 30 years. And sometimes that day I was really happy because they would look at my name and they would ask, are you Dwayne Pease's son? And I'm thinking, and I wonder, because my dad was high up in the police force, it's like, oh great, was my dad mean to this guy? But the two times that it happened, he says, you Dwayne Pease's son? And they let me go with a warning. And I was thankful for that. I was thankful that my dad's name was attached to something. It was a good name. Remember, a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. And I was thankful for that, and that there's a connection that's there. And that name is important, that P's name to me during those days. And the same thing, I think, that happened a few times to my sister. You know, are you Dwayne Pease's, Dwayne Pease's daughter? And those different things that helped me because of the connection that was there. The name of Jesus should mean something to us. Make sure that our name is in line with Jesus. If you are a Christian, you say that you're a Christian and you're a witness, remind yourself that my name is attached to Jesus' name. When I say I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, there's a connection there. There's a follower of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I kind of wish I would have got a ticket because, you know, every time they pulled me over, they would call my dad up and they would be telling my dad, hey, guess what? I pulled your son over. I let him go. And he was like, hey, I did you a favor per se. And they would give him a hard time. And of course, that would not make my dad happy. I mean, it would. My dad had thought many times of maybe would probably take my license away. He was a kind man. At the same time, when I did something wrong, he would call me out on it because I needed to be called out on it. And I appreciate that part of him growing up. But at the same time, I dishonored the name by not doing what I was supposed to do. We got to remember that this name, there is going to be a day, there's going to be a day of reckoning, and someday we should remember this, that we are connected to the name of Jesus and that we're going to bow someday. But it's a time that we should bow now. There's a story that puts that connection there. And I heard a couple different stories. I've heard it a couple different ways. And it's about a story about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was one of the great military generals who ever lived, conquered most of the known world with his vast army. One night during a campaign, he couldn't sleep and he left his tent to walk around the campgrounds. As he was walking, he came across a soldier asleep on guard duty, which is a very serious offense. The penalty for falling asleep on guard duty was, in some cases, would be instant death. The commanding officer sometimes would pour kerosene on the sleeping soldier and would light it. The soldier began to wake up as Alexander the Great approached him. Recognizing who was standing in front of him, the young man feared for his life. Do you know the penalty for falling asleep on guard duty? Alexander the Great asked the soldier. Yes, sir, the soldier responded in a very quivering voice. Soldier, what is your name? Demanded Alexander the Great. He responded, Alexander, sir. Alexander the Great responded again, repeated the question. What is your name? He says, my name is Alexander, sir. A third time, and more loudly, Alexander the Great asked, what is your name? And a third time, the soldier meekly said, my name is Alexander, sir. And Alexander the Great looked at the young soldier straight in the eye and says, either change your name or change your conduct. He says, no one should bear my name that acts like that. And I thought, wow. You know, I wonder how many times that when we say we're a Christian, that Christ would look at this and say, change your name. Don't you say that you belong to me when you act like that. So as we consider this and as we think about these challenging thoughts, the name of Jesus is lifted on high. Remember, there will be a day and a time and a moment where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Will we face persecution for the name of Jesus? They didn't in Acts chapter number 4. They did in Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 6. You know, all throughout the New Testament is woven together. If you're going to believe in the name of Jesus, it's going to face persecution. So tonight, the name of Jesus. Is it something special to you? It should be. Something you reverence. It's something that when you sing the name of Jesus, it should mean something to you. It should be precious. I remember, and I don't know exactly all the cultures about this, but I know there were times when there is a name for God that even those that were Jewish would not say that name of God because they reverence it so much. Or even when they were writing that name, there were certain things that they would do because they reverenced the name of God so much. But today, people use it as a curse word. Even Christians today throw out there, oh, God won't mind. He's my buddy. Me and God, we're good. And it's, we should reverence the name of Jesus. So when we consider Christmas and we consider what tomorrow stands for and what it means, one of the first things we hear and the first things that recorded are there is in the New Testament that we see in the New Testament that's recorded is he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Remember, Jesus reminds us, number one, why he came. Jesus reminds us that he is God. Saying the name Jesus reminds us he's God, why he came. There's power in the name of Jesus. But it doesn't stop there. There's a future reckoning someday of how we treat the name of Jesus, how we act under the name of Jesus. Remember, they were called Christians first at Antioch because they were so much like Christ. And when we connect their name with Jesus Christ, we should make sure that we are keeping a good, quote, unquote, family name. So tonight, as we get ready to close out, what do you think about the name of Jesus? It's a precious name. So when you think about it, thou shalt call his name Jesus, reminds us he's God, reminds us the reason why he came, reminds us that there's power in the name of Jesus, and reminds us that there's a future day of reckoning. We should live our lives a certain way because we will stand before the precious one who was willing to die for our sins. Are you ready to meet him someday? I know there's a few that are visiting with us, and most in the room would say, hey, I'm a believer, I'm on my way to heaven. There's no other name, not your own name, not any other name under heaven where you can be saved. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, putting your faith and trust in him. His name is supposed to be preached throughout all the nations, Jesus. So now if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to come. Let us tell you from the Bible how you can be saved and go to heaven when you die. It's not your good works. It's not anyone else's name. I've had people say, well, my parents were Christians. It's not your parents' names that you're saved by. It's not your grandparents. I've had people, well, my grandfather was a preacher, you know, or so-and-so helped build that church where you go. None of that matters when it comes to your eternal destiny. What your eternal destiny matters is, do you know Jesus? Have there been a time in your life where faith and repentance, and you've put your faith and trust in him through that? Tonight, the name of Jesus, let's lift him on high. And as we leave tonight, and as we consider all the things, remember what family we belong to. We're part of the family of God. And as we're spending time with our other families or our physical families, let's never forget that we're a child of God and that our name means something. And it means that we're connected to Jesus, which means connected with God, connected with why he came. We're connected with the power that's available in his name. And we're connected with the fact that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,